Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Bobby Moore and Sir Jeff Hurst, the Trevor Brookin and Billy Bones, Paolo Di Canio, West Ham United. We celebrate our victories, we stick together in defeat. We're proud of our history, West Ham United, more than just a podcast.
Good morning, good evening, or good afternoon. This is More Than Just a Podcast. Season 13, episode 23, and very likely the last episode of the year. Maybe not, we'll see. We'll see over the Christmas period. Back with us is Jonathan Bucci, the leader of the More Than Just a Podcast Super 6 competition. Welcome. Where are you? What are you doing?
Oh, well, I'm still the leading, am I? That's good. I'm at home talking to yous, doing this podcast.
No Canning Town Len tonight. He's feeling a little bit poorly, but back from sabbatical. It's Nigel Shebman. Where are you? What are you doing?
I'm in Premier League.
There you go. Is it got a shed in the Premier Inn?
No.
Premier Inn where? What part of the country are you in?
Weymouth tonight.
Okay. And
Swansea tomorrow.
Because we've got no Len, we've got a... We asked one of our 8 listeners to join us. His name is DJ Russ Budden. You know him as Button Monkey. And he's a little bit of a professional because, do you know what? For once, no amateur hour. During the theme tune, he muted himself. Unlike John, who laughed at the beginning when I said, "Quiet, please."
Well, no, you didn't. No, what made me laugh is the way you act. It wasn't "quiet, please." You were "quiet." Right. Well, shut up.
Anyway. Russ, where are you? What are you doing?
I'm in the Budden bunker doing a podcast with you guys.
Yeah, you're looking. I'm hoping that you're going to lift this podcast up a notch with your professionalism. Unlike this lot. I mean, you know, with them pressing mutes on and off.
Well, that's the thing. I did
eating
press the button.
During the podcast. Well, you're good at pressing buttons, aren't you?
Yeah. I've been doing it
for
many years.
So have you not watched his YouTube shows?
No, I don't watch YouTube.
Yeah, I thought so.
Why?
No, you ask for professionalism.
Oh, right. Is it? I've opened a can of worms there. Anyway, welcome.
Thank you.
We've got 2 games to talk about, and they're both wins. So let's start with... I don't have to ask, Russ, did he watch it? Because he was in his little button booth.
I was in my little room,
What'd you call it?
It's. I think they call it the... The finishing line box or something like that, they call it. Because it's where the original finishing line was. When the stadium was obviously the Olympic Stadium. So, yeah, I watched it. Watched both games. 2 clean sheets. Love it.
Yeah. Well, let's start with... we'll start with you, Russ, from the first one. Can you see the game really well?
Yes.
From your booth? Or do you come... You're not allowed out, are you?
Yeah. Do you know what? I have to go. I'm a certain age now, so I have to... As soon as it kicks off, I have to go for a quick wee. Otherwise, because I'm at my box from about 2 hours before kickoff, and then obviously, all the music and stuff like that. And then I have to go, I've got to go for a wee. So, yeah, I do. And I sit outside for 20 minutes or so, you know, feeling the atmosphere.
Are you ready for takeover then after you've done your bubbles button?
Do you know when? Yeah, I mean, obviously for a European game, obviously we have obviously DJ Tony Perry. And so actually I love the European games because I do a lot less work because Tony does it all. And I just sit back and just, you know.
What do you have to do on a European Just press one button.
I got to make sure his music's on, and I got to press the button. And yeah,
bubbles,
play a bit
yeah?
of bubbles. Yeah, cool. See bubbles, of course.
Isn't it true? I'm sure someone said they don't play bubbles twice on European games.
No, they can't.
Why?
I don't know. So soon, because we play.
If there's one person who should know. The person who pressed the button. It should be you.
It's a UEFA. It's a UEFA thing.
UEFA say you can't do it. Everything's controlled by UEFA on a European. Mm.
So what we do is, so we don't actually play bubbles when the teams come out in the European games. We play it like after the light show, and then they have their own music called Anticipation. Ooh, you know,
do you still get paid the same rate?
Yeah.
What? You don't have to answer this. What is your fee for a?
It's not a lot. It's not a lot. But it saves me buying a season ticket for the last 23
right.
years.
Okay, fair enough. All right, I won't play anymore. Let's talk about the game.
How much do you earn, Sean?
but hang on. Russ has got a normal day job, right? I'm all prepared to say, by the way, what we earn from the podcast, because that's our hobby, right?
What do you earn from Twitter, then?
Do you know what? I'm glad you asked me that, because do you know what I earn now?
Fuck.
It's awful. I mean, My last payday off Twitter was $18.26 for a month. Yeah, so I'm not going to retire on my Twitter revenue. And we're not going to retire on our podcast revenue. So all the people moaning about a flag and its advertisement, right? It's not our main form of income, right? So Paul Turner, other people, Woody, shut it. Anyway, sorry, Russ.
This is the home of the new... More than just a podcast flag.
Yeah.
Hey. You should sell it.
Did you know about that, John? Did you?
No, I didn't know nothing about it, mate.
No, I didn't know nothing.
No, nor did George. It was a little plan hatched by myself and Canning Town Lynn.
No basis. We need to know then.
Sorry? I funded it. He drew it, you know? It was surprise. It's a surprise. Anyway.
It wasn't a surprise, was it? You couldn't help telling people, and then people had to tell me.
Yeah, well, only when I brought the flag along on that day.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll talk about that later. Let's talk about football. Yeah. Obviously, we needed only a point against Freiburg, the German team. And... you know, that sort of lent itself to think is, oh, here we go, Moyes ball. It'd probably say, don't concede, don't go after a goal. All we've got to do is end 0-0 and we top the group. But those fears were not founded, were they, Russ? And
no.
And kudos. You know,
yeah.
Or kudos. Kudos.
Well, kudos to kudos, because he played very well. Eh?
Yeah, yeah.
14 minutes. I thought he was. I mean, he's been brilliant. The last couple of games has been phenomenal. But I was in the same boat. I thought, you know, knowing that we had to own, we not to lose, and obviously everything with the Fulham game beforehand, it was like a perfect storm. And you could just see us losing 89th minute, you know, to Freiburg. But no, we were on the front foot, and I was really disappointed with them, the opposition, well, the players on the pitch. I thought the fans were brilliant, but the opposition, I thought they'd really go for it, and try and sort of get a good goal and silence the crowd, but they were really poor. Yeah, I was really disappointed.
Alvarez, that first half was good. Alvarez assist, obviously the two played at Ajax. And then just before half time, that man, Alvarez, with a goal this time on 42 and Bowen with assist. I mean, those three are absolutely on fire when you add Pakatar, which we'll talk about later. And it was pretty much job done in the first half. Did you have to share your booth with a German at all?
No. We have to, as part of the UEFA sort of guidelines, obviously, we have to do the keep racism out of football announcement in English and German. And we usually have it pre-recorded, but we actually had a German announcer, so Martin had to share his mic, which he was obviously very disappointed about. But no, there's no Germans. Well, there's no opposition.
There was lots of Germans up your way, around your
there
booth.
There was.
Around Nigel as well.
And there was a, you know, and I was very impressed by the fact that they were singing English, you know, chants as well. You know, you're shit and you know you are. And
they were singing Last Christmas. I saw your video.
They did. They did at the end. And they also sang You Only Sing When You're Winning.
They were good. To be fair to them, their whole, you know, they were dancing and bobbing and cheering and flag waving and synchronized crowding or whatever they call it. All the way, even when they were 2-0 down, you know, it looked like their day out. The Germans.
It was, and that's what they said. You know,
would you want that in an English stadium?
Do I want that?
No,
I don't mind it.
Bear in mind, there's a group who are pitifully trying to organise them.
No, I don't want West Ham fans to do it, but I admire when they're losing Freiburg. I'm not gonna.
But the question was, would you want that?
Do I want that for West Ham fans?
Yeah.
No.
Would you? What would you think, like, if there was a section, say, the other side of the away fans from where you are, like, behind the goal and along over?
I just don't see it happening. It's just not that English. We're not going to be West Ham ultras and have a bloke with a megaphone. I mean, how did he get that megaphone in?
Can't get a bottle top in, can you?
Yeah. How did he get a megaphone in? Carmel next to us gets a bottle top taken away. He gets a megaphone in. No, not for me. Next, what you want? Drums? Trumpets?
No, because it is an organisation, though, isn't it? And now they're called the Ironworks Alliance. And
I've seen it.
You know, they're trying to put in a lot of stuff out. They want to get the. They want to.
Who's
get
behind organized. That? Do you know who's behind that?
I don't know. I've been thinking of, like, next year getting them in on a podcast and having a chat and try and get to the bottom. Because it ain't for me.
Not for me.
I love. The best football I've ever seen is in Germany for supporters and everything. And that in Germany is fantastic, the atmosphere. And it's okay, you know, but it gets a bit annoying, you know?
Yeah. Unfortunately, from our section, I don't know if you could hear it, Nigel, we were singing, there were 10 German bombers in the air and the RAF shot them down. Well, I didn't join in, of course I didn't, but slightly distasteful. Did you hear that from your lofty heights?
No.
Did you hear that, Russ, from
I didn't hear it. No.
That proves the sound doesn't travel.
Exactly. I think that's the issue, is isn't it? The sound doesn't travel, and you know, you don't get one song that goes all the way around. It starts somewhere, and by the time someone else has heard it, they start singing and they're out of time. And I think, you know, but that's just the nature of the acoustics of the stadium, isn't it? You're not going to get, it's not like at, you know, Upton Park, sometimes you could hear pretty much everyone in unison because they weren't bouncing off each other.
Yeah.
Well, our stadium.
Who was your man of the match, Russ, before we move on to?
Kudus. I think Kudus. Yeah. He's brilliant. He's really hard to get off the ball. He's so strong.
Yeah.
Love him.
What time do you, obviously you were still there when they were singing Last Christmas. What time do you knock off?
So the game will finish.
Yeah.
And hopefully we'd won. So you play Bubbles, then you play Twist and Shout, and then we do a couple more songs, and then I knock off then. So about 3 or 4 songs. About
you play minutes. Twist and Shout as well?
Yeah, we do Twist.
You're not a one-trick pony of just Bubbles.
Actually, I've got a complaint about this Sunday's game, Russ.
Go on, then.
Well,
lots
after
of Christmas
the game,
yep.
I hang around the stadium with a friend, and you played West Ham United.
Yes.
And you cut it, Russ.
I can't because I need to go for a wee, Nigel. I usually play it away for
no,
a wee.
I
needed a wee.
I'm listening along, thinking
I'm
the
so
best
sorry.
Song about West Ham you
I
get.
I love that song. I love it. And someone like had a go at my floor manager. Like, what are they playing? Why is the DJ playing this really old song? It's like, do you know this song? It's like a brilliant song.
It's the B-side of Bubbles from 75.
It's brilliant. Exactly.
Yeah.
You could have made something up. You didn't have to tell the truth. You had to go for a wee. You go,
no,
oh,
I'll
yeah,
be honest.
Well.
I'm honest. You know, I need
standing
a wee.
Down below think,
sorry, Nigel. I'm going to play it all the way through on Saturday if you're there.
And it was like, bang, gone.
Sorry.
You can't have been that long because you met me at Pudding Mill Lane and Well, trying to knee me in the back of my thing.
Off air, I'll explain how I get out. And
oh,
get there secret,
oh.
Passageways.
I wondered how you get in there. he's obviously come the disabled lift or something. Okay, let's move on to you, Nigel. You were there on, I'm pretty sure you were there Thursday.
Was it? I said hello to you.
You did. You did shake my hand, yeah. And you had a pie and mash. You actually gave me your empty pie and mash and went.
I did.
There you go.
Oh, that bit. I went,
yeah.
Yeah, well, I wanted to have my beer, didn't I?
Yeah. So, what did you make of the game? Was it, I mean, second half seemed a bit of a sort of training match where, I don't know, Freiburg to me seemed like they'd sort of given up the ghost and settled for a loss.
I expect it. I mean, considering Freiburg, they lost two games, both of them against us. They beat Olympiacos home and away and beat Tottenham home and away. I just don't know. I don't know what I expected better from them. Funny, they won at the weekend too. They're a bit Cologne. So they're bobbing about in the Bundesliga. I just thought, bearing in mind what was at stake, that I'm not disappointed they didn't put it to the fist up, really, did it? Or was it that West Ham was that good? It's hard, you know, because there's a bit of trepidation, isn't there, after the 5-0. After the 5-0
drubbing
at Fulham.
Fulham.
You know, and you look at it and you think, well, Freiburg will be better than Fulham. So perhaps I'm being a bit harsh on West Ham now. All in all, I thought it was a good performance.
Well, I'll give me a bit of a stat tyke before we start. 57% to West Ham. We kept the possession at home to their 43. We had 8 shots, just 3 on target. 2 of them went in. They had 12 shots. 4 on target, so more shots on target. We had 0 corners to their 3.
If you go through the stats when we only have 40%,
yeah.
I bet you in a lot of games we have more shots in the game.
Yeah.
8 shots ain't a lot, really.
No, it's not.
Like shots in total, you know, normally we have about 12 to 40 shots in the game.
Yeah.
We've only had about 5 to 40% possession. But it just goes to show you. I mean, people get hung up on all this possession. It's a load of old bugs. 65% of the teams that dominate possession, they're just passing it across the middle. Across, 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 across. You know, it can be a bit boring. This has come up with a tactic. People think, I don't know, it's a bit dull to watch. And basically, I think sometimes, but there's a bit of me that I quite respect in a way. If you want to have the ball and piss about, go on in, you have the ball and piss about. But we're going to sit deep and make it hard for you. But when we get the ball, we're going to go quick and catch you on the break. And, you know, it's working well. And it's not easy in the eye, but it ain't difficult to watch either for me. And it's definitely not Allardyce ball.
Yeah, well... the first half I thought we played really well, and I don't know if that's bad on Freiburg. And then we sort of
took our foot off the pedal
in the second half, didn't we?
Yeah, but the mad thing is that Freiburg probably the hardest game we were going to have in the group stage. And, like, the crowd was disappointing. I think we had 50-odd thousand against Olympiacos.
Yeah.
Was it 40-odd thousand?
It was 48,000 tickets we sold. Yeah. 48,870.
It was less than that.
Yeah. But there was a lot less than that. And the reason is we sold, the packets in free, which I'm sure you bought and I bought. A lot of people I know just didn't come. They bought the third and go, yeah, can't be bothered on the last one. Finley didn't come, although I bought...
Yeah, but that's the thing, I don't... You spend, I don't know, so many decades waiting for...
I know, I get you.
...European football. And after 3 years, what people have had enough of the group stages. I know.
Yeah, I know.
You can't get up for them. But just think, considering that there was a lot engine on that game, it wasn't just about, you know, yeah, we qualified, but, you know, we needed to win it. So it was quite disappointing.
We've earned 14 coefficient points this season, including that game. You get 3 points for every win, and you get some for winning your group, etc. 64, so we'll have 60. We're at 50 points for this season because it's what you did last season, 64 for next season, which will be above Spurs already.
We're a long way off qualifying for the FIFA World Club Cup.
I know we are, but look, small things. Come on, 64 points from where we started is bloody good.
No, yeah, Sean, but it's only any good, remember, if you qualify next season.
Yeah, agreed, but we earn...
Because if you don't qualify next season, coefficient points means fuck all.
Well, do you know what? It doesn't, because this year you earn a bonus for being a European competition. We've earned 2.83 million, 2.77 million euros... for our coefficient bonus for being on 50. So we get a bigger... This is the way it works. You get a bigger slice of the pie, the more coefficient points. It obviously favours the people who are regularly into Europe. And that's on top of our prize money. And we're doing quite well. I mean, we probably earned £3 million of ticket revenue. So our attendance... 146,000 tickets, right, for the free
question for
group.
For Europe. How far do we need to go in the Europa League to earn more money than we did last year in winning the conference?
We will already. We probably only need to get to the quarterfinals, Nigel. We've already earned nearly $7 million in prize money, $6.83 million in prize money. You get $3.1 million just for getting to the group stage. We got 2.75 million for 5 win bonuses in the group stage and almost another million for winning the group. Now, on top of that, you get 3 million from the tickets are more expensive, although we haven't had such great things. You get TV pool money worth about 5 million because it's on TNT Sports, more money in the Europa League. And you get that coefficient bonus of 2.7 million. So, you know, we're already on the way. We got, I think, West Ham released themselves prize money for the Europa League, even Europa Conference League, was 15 million last year, excluding ticket money. 15 million. Mm. You know, we're on our way to that already, and we've only just passed the group stage. It shows, you know, the difference between the Conference League, Europa League, and then Champions League are just worlds apart. They absolutely are. But anyway. It's not a finance podcast. What else? Who's your man of the match, Nigel?
Fabianski.
Yeah.
Clean sheet.
Two clean sheets in a week. Do you think it was right that he stayed in for the weekend for Wolves? And would you keep him in until he makes a mistake?
Areola fit then?
So David Moyes came out and said, actually, he is fit. He was on the bench, but I don't want to rush him back. And I think Fabianski's been great. Obviously, Fabianski's been given a 1 year, another 1 year extension, which will take him up to 40. With the senior source saying, you know, he absolutely deserves it.
You know, he looks like he could go a few years, isn't it? Shilton played till he was about 47, 40.
Oh, did he?
I mean, Shilton was playing for England still at 40.
Yeah. I think 47 in the Premier League is probably asking a bit much nowadays.
Yeah, but I think, Shilton was still playing Premier League football. Shilton did play Premier League football, I believe. So, 92 Premier League started. I think he would have been with Derby then.
I think it would have been. I don't know if he played. I know, was it Silver? I think the oldest one was Silver, innit? I don't know if Shilton played in the Premier League. I don't know.
Well, he was still playing, wasn't he? Because he was with us 95.
But he didn't play, did he?
He went to Warrant. He went to Warrant and played. He had been at Plymouth as a manager.
As a player manager.
But you think it was only 2 years after he was playing top flight football at the World Cup 1990.
Yeah.
So
who knows? Good luck to him. Good luck to him. It's great that we've got two goalkeepers, both of which can, you know, we're not worried. Fabianski's
best West Ham keeper, Phil Parks.
Yeah. Let's move on to, because he's been very patient, Johnny Boy, did you watch the game?
Yes, I did, yeah.
Yeah. Thursday night, you watched it without no parties, or you were going out and watching on the phone or catch up. You actually watched it live.
I did watch it, yeah.
Good. And what did you think?
I enjoyed it. It was a good watch. I was surprised by it. So, yeah. You know.
Got anything nice to say about David Moyes?
About David Moyes?
Yeah.
Well, if he plays more games like that than games that he doesn't, then he can do what he likes, as far as I'm concerned. You know,
do you think
bring that game into the next game? I mean,
well, you're right. You know,
we
had
two good performances, pretty entertaining games to watch.
Do you think he's listening to the fans?
I don't know. We said it the other week, didn't we? Yeah. I'm surprised that he continues to produce that style of football when he's on his last contract. He's got nothing to lose. He might as well have a go, isn't he? Maybe he is. I don't know. But it was a good watch, you know. And they came out. I mean, they came out pretty fast, didn't they? Firebird. They came out.
Yeah, yeah.
Had the first few minutes and pressed us and whatever, but we sort of got control of it. Caduce was clearly up for it. Paquetar hit the bar, didn't he?
He did.
That was a good hit. You know, not only did we score two good goals, Bowen got one disallowed, didn't he? So
yeah,
it was
that the right decision? I didn't.
It was offside. Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know, it wasn't as tight as the one on Saturday.
Yeah.
Or Sunday. It was a good watch.
Did Bowen shank one over from 5 yards?
Yeah, he did. Yeah, well, he was under pressure. That was in the second half. But yeah, you know, it was a good watch.
The goals are coming from everywhere. I mean, I don't know if you heard what David Moyes said this week. He said he doesn't think he needs a striker in the January transfer window. He said, I don't think we do. No, we've got Bowen. We've got Mickey Antonio. We've got Danny Ings. We've got young Divin Mbama. It's not numbers we need. If it's something else we need, then finding it and having the right cost and getting it becomes a hard thing. There's a huge amount of teams looking for a centre forward right now, and I don't think there's many sitting there waiting to be plucked out in January.
Well, you know, he's probably right. We don't necessarily need a striker because we're scoring goals. But, you know, the other thing is, are they going to back him for a striker? What's going on with his contract? What's going to, you know, would they want to spend the money you'd need to spend for a striker?
Well, I mean, we did hear that maybe Danny Ings might be off, but I mean, who would want to buy Danny Ings and pay his 100 bags a week wages? I don't know.
It depends how much we want to keep hold of him. If we're happy to let him go, we would subsidise his wages, wouldn't we? And then he's far more appealing, and there'd be teams out there lower down the league or even like up the top of the championship.
Bit, yeah, you know.
Would have him.
I don't know. I'm not going to try and mention FFP, but I've been told, look, we're at the limit. We can't really do a lot this January until we offload someone off the wage bill. So, you know, subsidising might not really help. So we've got to both sell someone, but also get someone off the wage bill. And
there's a kind of a list of players that are ready to go, aren't there?
Yeah, you know, Cornet, Benrahma, Danny Ings,
Creswell,
Fornells, Coventry. You know, there's a number. I mean, whether some of those lower ones, Ben Johnson, obviously, as well. Just while we've got you, since you mentioned contract, David Moyes also said yesterday he's relaxed about his own contract renewal position. He said, "I'm hugely comfortable with it. I'd work with no contract. The contract isn't important for me. It's enjoying the job. And as long as I'm hopefully getting enough wins to keep the board satisfied, then that's what I have to do. Over the last 3 years, we've done pretty well. However, when pressed on how his players could feel about that and whether it could be distraction, he said, that's a different story. They need to know what's happening and who's in charge. I'm happy to do it, and I've got a great relationship with the club, but I don't see any reason to panic about it, talking about its contract. But we've got an awful lot of new players. It's another story. We've got a lot of new players who are just getting bedded in, really. We've got them. We made a big change when we lost Declan Rice, which was huge. The year before, we lost Mark Noble, and we had to find a way to get around that. So on one part, he's going, I'm relaxed with my own contract position. On the other hand, he's going, well, it could be unsettling for the new players.
Well, it's in his hands, isn't it?
I think so.
It's in his hands. If that Freiburg game and the game against Wolves were different than some of the games that we've been watching week in, week out previously. There's a sign there that there's a more forward-thinking approach, and it's a better watch anyway. So yeah. He could follow that path, and if he was to then sprinkle that along with maybe letting a couple of players go, bringing some of the youth players in, two or three of them out of the under-21s who won the cup, and give them a couple of run-outs, and, you know, in the eyes of the vocal groups and the vocal fan groups or whatever, that would change their minds, and he could... Well and truly, it's in his hands. He could turn it around.
No, I'm just going to bring one last bit in before we go back to the game, and that is, I ran a poll on Twitter, X, 1,500 people. I asked, if we qualified for Europe again, either finished top seven, or won the FA Cup, or the League Cup, or Europa Club, so those four cups and qualified for Europe, would you give David Moyes a new contract? 68% of the 1,500 said yes. 38% said no.
Was this after the Wolves game?
No, before the Wolves game.
Right.
So it's interesting to me.
Well, you put that up after the Fulham game.
If
you put that up after the Fulham game, you'd get a completely different response.
Maybe that's a flip-flop nature. I put it after the Freiburg win or in between the two games. But it just shows you, John... And look, I've been wrong about David Moyes. I said I was frustrated, but some, like you, the last two games, I thought, do you know what? If he can play like this, I could deal with this. 38% are saying, we don't care whether he qualifies for Champions League. We still don't want him as a manager to our club. Even though he's the most successful manager probably in the last 30 years, we still don't want him in our club. It's very polarised.
Well, like I say, it's just... I mean, I can see it. I can understand it. I just don't, you know, I just don't let it rule me, you know what I mean? I'll just go with it. But the truth is, it's in his hands. He got the power to win his contract. He's got really nothing to lose. And if I was him and I wanted to, I would go for it.
Yeah.
Is he not going for it? It cracks me up. This narrative that comes out about our bad football it ain't brilliant, but it ain't as bad as what it's been painted. You know,
it's pretty shit. It has been pretty shit.
Yeah, but no, in games it's been shit. In games it's been good. Well, guess what? In games, John Lyle's football was shit. Yeah? In games, John Lyle's football was fantastic. That's how it went. That's how it went. So West Ham's never been that club.
Hello, but the people that really hate him and really despise it are the people he lost this time last year when we had that long run of really, really shit. And then this low block became a thing and this style, you know.
What is low block? Low block. People come up with these frigging names. Low block.
He lost these people then. You know, so he's not going to win them back. Well, he might do. Like I say, he could turn it around now. You know, he continue playing better.
Yeah. I think, you know, in terms of the whole Moyes contract situation, I think that the way I see it is if he gets a new contract, it's because he's had a good season. So it could be, as you said, it could be Champions League qualification or a Carabao Cup, or so something good would have happened. And it'll be interesting to see what happens in the summer if we have, say, a good season, and say, you know, Christ,
but winning a cup and a good season for West Ham—that's a fucking outstanding season.
It is. That's what I mean. Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah, exactly.
Season, yeah.
Which is why how can 38% still say no? Winners cup for second year running, and they still said no.
Yeah.
I bet most of them don't go to the games. Yeah, they sit at home watching on the telly or whatever. Yeah, and their social. So David Moyes is under pressure from West Ham fans, purely from social media.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you why. Because it don't ever manifest itself in stadiums. The only time I've really heard abuse of David Moyes was the 4-0 Brighton away. Apart from that,
and there was Fulham away last season. I was there. There was people there with Moyes out flags.
Yeah, he had Moyes out flag, and he had to put it away, didn't he, Johns? Didn't we win the game?
We did win the game.
The bloke was trying to wave it about at half time, and of course afterwards, and Moyes got a bit of abuse away at Fulham, but then we won the game.
But that was another example of like we had, like. They were all over us and we nicked the win by one goal, wasn't it, you know? So, you know.
But that's the way Dave, you know, this is the thing. Harry Redknapp used to play that tactic all the time. Loads of times. Keep it tight. Don't defend. Whatever. Try and nick the win at the end.
No, I must admit, I'm reluctant to agree with Nigel, but in the people around me, they rarely. I think one person once had a problem with Moyes, who was a drunk person and was shouting at Moyes, but I don't think it was a regular. But around
my mates who don't do social media and go to West Ham, all the home games, they're perfectly happy with David Moyes being manager. They're probably a bit like me if he's sacked. You know, we'll support the next incumbent. Yeah. That's the way football works. But, you know, all this Moyes out, everything. It's a social.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Social media driven thing, and the thing it makes me laugh is when you get like these people like the Athletic and everything else, the under 21s just equalised 1-1. And they're so desperate for content in a way like usual, and everybody else, they're so desperate for content. They didn't focus on negative things or whatever.
Oh, wait, include the bug monkeying to content, not just me.
I'm never Russ. A negative person, so there we go.
He's not allowed to be negative. He's on the payroll.
No, I can be negative. I think I'm more negative than Anton, I think, to be honest. But anyway.
Well, you know, it's just...
But that stuff sells. That stuff does whatever.
But unfortunately, they didn't put their name on the tweet. So,
that was Luke. They do it now. Nigel, you see, Matt's done it now. So
so it's all right when you got to share the can. Yeah, but when one of you breaks ranks, put your name on it. Yeah, so I know.
We have now. We've taken your constructive criticism on board,
yes,
Mr. Carl.
Thank you very much. put your name
do,
on it.
Do you give on your channel? Because I must admit, I don't, it's not personal. West Ham Network, aren't you? Is that right?
Yeah.
I don't watch any YouTube, so it's not personal. But are you critical of Moyes on your channel, Russ?
It's not because I'm on the. I'm not particularly critical. I'm very much like Nigel. I've always said it. There's a spectrum of appreciation or depreciation of Mr. Moyes. There's the Moyes in, the Moyes out.
Or Mr. Moyes. Do you have to legally call him Mr. Moyes as you're an employee?
No, but I'm very formal. So, so you've got people at each end, and they obviously shout the loudest, and they tend to be sort of firing over the vast majority who are Moyes neutral, who is very similar to Nigel. You know, support whoever's in the. It was in the dugout. If he's sacked, we've got nothing to do with who is in charge of the side, and we'll support the next manager that comes in. That's what I try and do. And if we've played crap. You know, there's no denying the fact when it's a crap game. And even, you know, as John says, you know, plenty of times we walk out. I remember particularly during the COVID, you know, I was walking out the stadium thinking, how the hell have we won that game? But we did. So I'm not a negative person by default anyway, but you know, the club are well aware of the thing I do, so you know, we've never had an issue.
Are you an actual employee or are you a freelancer? You're a freelancer,
technically, yeah.
Do you report to Mark Noble?
No.
Is he in charge of buttons?
He isn't in charge of buttons. Although, actually, Sean, yeah, I am doing the 20
by chocolate buttons.
I'm doing the 21s now, so we're going to be Rush Green. So Kenny asked if I could. So I did the under 18.
Is that a freebie? Is that pro bono?
No.
They're paying for it.
Pocket change, but he says, "Do you want to do it?" And that's quite fun.
Who
asked
you to do that?
Kenny.
All right.
Aren't you there tonight? Oh, no, they're away.
It's away. So they don't play that many at home. But obviously the under-18s played the FA Cup in, what was it, like two Fridays ago, which went on for 120 minutes and was freezing. And everyone had cramped by the end of it. It was ridiculous. But they managed to get through.
Have you done one yet?
Yeah, I did the FA Cup.
Okay.
FA Cup. Yeah, it was good fun.
Do you play anything different?
No.
Just the same old, same
it's the same, same old, same old.
Bubbles
We didn't play bubbles actually.
London Calling.
Yeah, we did London Calling instead. But we will be doing bubbles for the 21.
Russ, I'm not doing this thing. I know the thing. Sometimes I'm sick of hearing that song.
Yeah.
Because
we haven't played it for ages, London. Someone messaged me the other day.
You know they don't have vinyl anymore, Nigel. It is literally a button that is preloaded on an MP3 or even not even
more than four buttons. Yeah,
how many buttons
I'm
going to
take a picture. There's a big. The desk's quite big. I'll take a picture and show you next time.
But how many songs are you allowed to play?
It's quite a few. It can be quite a few.
Is it like a preloaded sample? Or is it like
I've got my Spotify, and
Do you connect Spotify up your phone to like a jack to play?
No, I've got the iPad. I've got the iPad. So the iPad's all set up. With all the, and it's got all the bubbles.
But you are
and,
restricted, isn't it? You've got to be restricted because it's the same songs all the time.
You just got to be clever. It's got to be sensible.
The broadcasting rights, I'm not sure you're allowed to use Spotify.
Well, no, because it's not part of the. If I was playing in the games during the performance, then I would have to.
Oh.
But because it's not during the performance, that's
even though there's 62,500 people.
Even though there's 62,500 people there, yeah.
We're going to have to check that with our lawyers.
Well, we've already done that. Well, we've been doing it for the last 20 odd years.
Not Spotify, you haven't, mate.
Not with Spotify, yeah. But anyway, with the.
I used to record the tapes on Napster. Top 10.
Yeah, it was doing Napster, yeah. Yeah, three quarters of a song before it dropped out. No, but we have to be careful. I remember when we played Millwall back at the old ground, because obviously there was the pitch invasions. They wanted a full list of every song I played to make sure I wasn't inciting, you know, a riot. Ooh, you know, like I was playing, I don't know, like I Predict a Riot by Kaiser Chiefs or Two Tribes Go to War.
I say, Bill Renfrew never had this trouble.
No, they didn't.
Do you have a, like, to all the freelancers? Do you all have like a Christmas party to like Hammerhead and Bubbles the Bear? And who's the announcer?
West Ham gone 2-1 up.
We tend to have a Christmas.
Have a little Christmas.
Yeah, we might have a Christmas, a little drink up maybe on Saturday after the game, maybe. But yeah, I mean, there's a big old team because you've got, there's obviously the guys who do, you know, the your music and the announcing, and you've got the guys doing the screens, and then there's the whole team based up in Preston.
How about the person's in charge of the bubble machines? That seems a job that on its own.
Yeah, Mickey, Mickey Bubbles.
Is it his name, Mickey Bubbles?
Mickey Bubbles, yeah, Mickey Bubbles.
Subcontracting.
Is it his own machines?
Yeah.
I think he also does the fire.
It does.
Oh, does he? Oh, for European games. Anyway, we should.
But you really like them, Sean, didn't you?
I do actually. I once did an interview for a Japanese broadsheet, and the only thing they wanted to know, and the club put me forward to do this Japanese about the new stadium, and I did this whole interview, and what they wanted to know is how many bubbles would it take to fill the stadium? Who knows? I just made up a number.
Well, if they were using the bubble machines we have, it'd never happen because they obviously don't get the liquid right or the mixture right because they just go up and fall straight back down.
Oh, they do. They come over our way. Anyway, anywho, let's move on to the game. John, are you still awake?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Right, let's move on. We're going to start with you. We're going to come the opposite way because it's been so long since. West Ham United 3, Wolverhampton Wanderers 0. Did you watch the game?
Yeah.
There was a reason. Yeah, but you say that, but there was a reason you didn't come, and I'm trying to remember. Was it hungover or?
Yeah, Mark's wife's 50th birthday the night before.
Yeah. So you were hanging a bit. Yeah.
Well, these 2 o'clock kickoffs, you have to get up and out, don't you?
I don't like the Sunday 2 o'clock kickoffs.
Yeah, and I guess an extra hour earlier than a Saturday. Yeah.
I have been invited to X's.
Well, it depends on how the trains run on a Sunday.
I have been invited to West Ham Way's event to see Kevin Keane and Kenny Brown. And I worked out. I would have had to get up at 7 o'clock in the morning because it starts at 10. And Hackney Wick is miles from anywhere, certainly from Surrey. I didn't make it up for time for that. So where'd you watch it, John?
I'm just gone 3-1.
Oh, good.
I watched it here at home.
Oh, good. In your little snug.
In my little snug, yeah.
Yeah.
Another surprising
performance, certainly first half.
Yeah, no, it was good. Yeah, it was just...
What did you predict? I can't remember what you predict. Please don't say you predicted 3-0 on the last week.
I didn't predict 3-0. No, I wouldn't have done that.
No, I need to listen back. But I thought it would be tighter than it was.
Well, yeah. I mean, we played well. Pakatar was really good. Obviously, a great ball to Kudos. The female commentator said that he fumbled the kick and didn't mean to faint, and then beat the keeper. But you know, he did great finish. It was just everything about him was really good. So
and the mighty Dawson was not enough to stop him because it was Dawson who was right in front of him for that first goal, wasn't it?
Yeah. It was. He tried
23 minutes that first goal.
But again, that looked like a bullet hit, didn't it? But yeah. I think the keeper might have done it.
He's just getting better and better. Well, David Moyes came out yesterday and said, we worked out that the Wolves keeper struggles with low balls to the left. So I told the team to hit it low and left.
There you go.
Tactical genius.
There you go. Yes. Tactical genius. Juice, what do you think of the goal celebration? Right in front of the way fans.
Yeah, I don't dislike the goal celebration. I think they shouldn't necessarily do it in front of the way fans. You know, just think that'd be a bit annoying if you're the away fans. But
there was no wall in front of the own fans to sit on. I think that was a problem.
Is there none of that there? No, can't they do that? Isn't that right in front of you, Sean?
It's right in front of us.
They can't sit on that bit in front of you.
No.
It's going to end up. It's going to end up like that. You know that scene, that old scene from New York on the girder of all the guys eating their, you know, sort of men at work by the end, because you had Caduce, Paqueta, and next week there'll be a third person. But soon you'll have the whole bloody team lined up, all sitting on the edge.
I mean, they did remonstrate, the Wolves fan, who were a bit quiet, but the stewards were having none of it. And of course, 9 minutes later, it happened again. It happened again. Caduce again, celebrating again with the man Paquetar. Two assists and two goals for Caduce.
And we're
2-0 up, and you're thinking, this is easy. 32 minutes in, we're 2-0 up, and it seemed to be all one way after that.
Well, he looks not really, really good, Caduce, doesn't he? And Paquetar, we know that when he's on it and when he's good, he's really good. And then every now and again, he just pass it to them. But
we're going to lose him to the AFCON. We'll talk about the AFCON a bit later. But apparently, Ghana are not very good, so they might not stay in the AFCON too long. And we've got a mid-winter break for some of it. So we'll see. Whether they progress on,
But obviously they come back into it, didn't they?
Well, they do, and then obviously they scored, and maybe we're bringing Nigel here because our favourite VIR, obviously, and maybe I'll get your take on this. It was an agonising wait, and
it's a long time.
Both set of fans, it seemed about 4 minutes. Again, we've got no idea. You've probably got an idea what's happening at home, John. We had no idea.
Three and a half minutes, they were kept looking at it. The machine broke down, I think.
Well, that's it, because a sign came up I've not seen before going VAR operational. You're thinking, what?
Yeah.
I've never seen that before.
I'll tell you why in a minute.
Oh, and it just seemed to go on for a long time. We thought it was bang offside. We're sort of level in West Ham's lower. And myself and the Murphys and Keith, Big Keith, were going, that is so offside. And I was shaking my hand to the away fans going, there's no way they're going to give that. No way. And I started to worry when it was taking 4 minutes. Because for me, it was bang offside. Now, obviously, when you look at the replay now, it does look offside. But when they draw that line, it's a lot closer. So I'll tell you what, let's go to Nigel close on VAR, and then we go to Russ for an inside scoop. Nigel?
Fuck VAR.
Yeah, well, that's what we were singing, wasn't it? Fuck VAR. Both sides were singing that, by the way. I know. Cameras picked it up.
Yeah, we've benefited from it. But 3.5 minutes, that's too long. 3 minutes too long. The decision, I've only seen the still with it. I'm not watching the game back. I see the still with it. It was so, that goal should never be chalked off.
Did you think it was offside at the time watching the game?
I thought it was touch and go.
Right, okay. Fair enough.
Because he did seem to be ahead when the ball was played across. It looked to me as if he was ahead of the ball when the ball was played across. Now, obviously, when they've drawn the lines, one of our defenders was back. I mean, let's get this right. We've come out half asleep again. It was scored in the 15-minute window that we love to concede between 45 true. And 60 minutes. And I can't understand. You know, the only thing is, obviously, the offside rule was designed before VAR. I think it seriously needs looking at. Most football fans, I imagine, that go to games don't want VAR. Scrap it.
Yeah. It does spoil it. You don't know whether to celebrate and,
Yeah. What all we've done is we've replaced one human making a decision. I bet you if there was no VAR, that linesman would have put his flag up.
Yeah, you might be right.
And this is the thing now. It just kills football. And when you felt sorry for Wolves after the game, they were a bit relieved it weren't given, because you'd think if they'd have gone 2-1, well, could we have buckled? Luckily, we went on and got the third. But, that just highlights for me why I never wanted VAR in the first place. And why I will
always
remain.
You're not wrong. And I thought they got a lot better recently trying to speed it up. So I don't really know what went wrong, but I'm sure our button monkey is going to tell us.
Well, that sign was the VAR feed went down. Not for us. Not it didn't go to VAR. I mean, it was for the, because usually you put up the screen, the special screen, which tells you what they're waiting for. So that's like the holding sign in case anything. Because as I said, you know, it's all piped up to Preston and stuff, and they do all the mixing up there. So that's what it was on. That's what literally went down about 10 seconds before that happened, and so they had to put it up, and then it came back on just before they made the decision. But it was ridiculous because obviously
did the feed have anything to do with how long they made the decision?
No, it was nothing to do with that, because they literally, because I was watching it, because I've got the screen next to the monitor.
So why were they putting up VAR operational on the screen?
Because they couldn't put up the actual screen to say what they were waiting for. That was it. It wasn't nothing exciting. But literally, I was watching them making it. They just kept on looking at these feet for about 2 minutes. That's all they were looking at.
Oh, you get to see the actual VAR screen.
Yeah,
in your
like box. The VAR feed. So I was watching them, and they're sort of talking. And
well, you could live stream that on Facebook, so at least it would give us something to do.
Yeah, it could do.
Well,
yeah.
No one can get inside the stadium.
Why would you be on Facebook?
Sorry, yeah. No,
you want to get a good signal. You have to get a good signal.
Yeah, I do get a good signal.
Well, you're an EE, that's why, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
No, he's not. So he's on the old special Wi-Fi.
The old special one.
Well, I also do have EE and Vodafone on my phone, but that's another story.
So, yeah, they took for so long just trying to decide where the line was. Literally, as soon as they put the line on, it was clear. It was like offside. It was like,
yeah, but it was very, very, very close. You know, it was a toenail or maybe a toe.
Maybe a toe.
It seemed harsh. And I just think, I do agree. And I think Nigel said this before, if you can't decide in the first 60 seconds, stay with the original decision. Sometimes that will go against us, sometimes it will go with us.
Yeah. But that's football.
Yeah.
It's modern football. Anyway, obviously we get away and it starts 2-0. I'll just do a stat attack before I go to you, Nigel. We actually had less possession at home, 44% on Sunday to their 56%. We had 13 shots, 4 on target. They had 14 shots, 3 on target. We had 6 corners to their 6 corners. We fouled 12 times to their 15. Dirty Wolves. First half, really good, Nigel. Second half, maybe more lacklustre.
I didn't get to see Martin after the game, right? Which is probably the first game from about the last 4 I've been to. I've not seen him. I wanted to complain. He didn't read the Wolves team out.
Did he not?
Before the game. So Dawson never got his name.
He did. Dawson got a clap. He reads it out twice. Twice before. Before
he was still having a beer at that.
Yeah, he always does it twice. Always does it twice.
Did he? Well, I was there when the teams come out. And he did the West Ham team.
Always does the West Ham 11 on its own at the end. But he always does it twice.
Yeah, you were too late, Nigel. Yeah, I think he's...
And Dawson didn't get the first, because he was like, what should I do? I said, just play it a straight bat, and if people clap, they clap. Don't make a big thing of it, you know.
You said that to Dawson?
No, that's what he did with Bowen. He left some on Bowen, didn't he? Jesus, one of the tackles. But no, there wasn't hardly anyone in the first at the beginning. Dawson didn't really get any clap. But the second time, he did get a little ripple, and we paused and let him... And then, nice.
No, well, anyway...
So, discuss, Nigel.
No, I weren't disgusted at all. I thought it was a good, fantastic performance. I mean, the first goal, I mean, Pakatar, I think there was 2 touches from Pakatar that he sort of looked like he'd lost control of it and toes it past the bloke. But then the pass, because he was almost stumbling, it didn't look like he had full control of the ball. But to ping that ball into the half of Caduce, cuts in on his left, buries it bottom corner. It's funny that with Moyes saying he don't need a striker, he listed the reasons why. I never said he had Caduce. Because, you know, he will only get better and better. And you know, it's... When you see Pakatar playing the way he does there, and when you see Caduce, it is a worry, especially when you see Man City not performing well, So they're going to be thinking, we need to strengthen. We need to strengthen. And then more Liverpool, or God forbid, even Arsenal again. If they keep playing the way they're playing, you know, big boys will be looking at them.
So it'd be nice Caduce and Pakatar,
yeah.
How much do you reckon Pakatar and Caduce is worth?
Pakatar, I think we'll get 80. 75.
Yeah. 80. David Moyes said on Sunday after the game, he said, I'm pulling my hair out 1 minute, and the next minute I'm waving he does. Some of his passes are absolutely terrific. He's got everything in his locker. He's a really talented footballer, but as a manager, there are bits that drive you absolute mad. You have to find a way of living with it. And he's right, because he falls to the ground and play acts, and you go, he did it on Sunday, you go, get up, Pakatar, stop. You're not fooling anyone. And then he does something brilliant. And, you know, first player since Mikel Antonio in 2017, allegedly, is a stat from Sky, who's got a hat-trick of assists in a West Ham game. Is that true, Nigel? You'll know.
I'm not really a stat man like that, am I? So,
well, Sky said it, so it must be true.
Yeah, but, I mean, I'm not sure he's got the same qualities as Di Canio, but he's definitely up there. You know, he's up there with Payet and Di Canio as the people you pay money to come along and see. He is frustrating at times. Di Canio was frustrating at times. Payet was frustrating at times because they will try things out of the ordinary, and you know, a lot of the times they won't come off. The difference is getting Pakatar to do it, and so when it does come off, because a lot of his work recently hasn't really led to anything, but suddenly, you know, everything he did was led to goals, to set up all three goals. And it was funny, wasn't it? Because obviously Moyes, obviously perhaps, you know, tactical genius Moyes. Because when you look, all three goals were players coming off the right, shooting on their with their left. So, you know, Moyes has obviously spotted the weakness, told the players what to do. Because in the second half, Bowen was wide right when he got the ball and cut in from another ball by Pakatar. So, I'm with Moyes. He does frustrate me a lot, because sometimes though he'll do the flicks and the fancy stuff, and you know, we're not really in the position to do that, you know. But there was one bit in the second half, wasn't there, that even had Koufal clapping his hands. And Koufal was
lucky. Well, Koufal was lucky to not to be sent off, really.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know whether there was a penalty shout for Bowen. Bowen hit the bar. Bowen had one ruled offside.
He hit the inside of the post, didn't he?
He hit the inside of the post. The one that got ruled offside, John, was that fair enough?
Yeah.
It was a proper offside, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, the penalty one never looked anything to me. That was up our end.
What were you thinking again about the penalty shout and or the Soufal red card shout, John? What were they saying in the studio?
The Soufal, they sort of, I didn't see it at the time, but they did highlight it. And yeah, I think there's probably a couple of occasions where he could have at least got two yellows.
Well,
I suppose
they took him off, didn't they, in the end? And
it was quite funny because Kerr got booked with his first tackle.
Yeah, he did on the same player, didn't he? But yeah. I reckon we were lucky for him to not get sent off, to be honest.
Yeah, cool. Anything else, Nigel, before we move to Rassi Boy on the Wolves game?
No, it was just a great...
Who was your man of the match then?
Fabianski.
Oh, yeah. Twice. How about you, John? I didn't ask you.
Paqueta.
Yeah, yeah. Good shout. So, Russ, last but not least, Wolves. got there nice and early.
Yeah, always.
What did you make of the game? It hasn't been discussed already.
I mean, those last two games, for ages, we haven't won any games comfortably. You know, it was relatively a canter, I thought. Both games we've won really comfortably, really sort of professionally as well, I think, as well. Yeah, there was a little bit in the Wolves game, to that 20-minute spell in the second half, where they sort of were pushing, they had the goal disallowed. And then that was really all they had, in all honesty. And it was really, I came out of the game thinking, oh, we actually deserve to win that. We played well. We stuck to a game plan and it worked. And again, that hasn't happened very often. As John says, you know, we've been playing poorly. We've nicked the odd goal to win the game. But actually, we've controlled those two games pretty much flawlessly, I think. Two clean sheets.
Without singing our praises too much, I believe, well, I know this. I was, without name dropping, I was on Talk TV on Sunday night with Mark Zaggers. And one of the Wolves guys from Wolves Talk TV, Talking Wolves, that's it, was there. And he said, they haven't won in London for 14 games. They can't beat a London team. So he was expecting...
That's nothing new.
He was expecting the loss. He was expecting the loss. He said, we just can't win in London. You know, he travels all the way down. He was doing his interview from a service station, bless him. And they were quite quiet. So that they were expecting a loss. I'm not sure we were expecting a win, but... they're struggling with a bit of form at the moment. I don't know where they are. Where are they in the table? Let's have a quick look. They're 13th. 13th with 19 points. We were briefly 7th on 27 points. 13 points from safety before Man United drew. Liverpool can't even do us a favour by beating Man United. Otherwise, we'd have remained 7th. Literally, would have been 1 point behind Newcastle in 6th place. We're 2 points behind Newcastle.
Oh.
1 point behind Manchester United on 28. 2 points behind Newcastle.
Then we would have been 2 points behind Newcastle anyway.
All right, one place behind Newcastle. Sorry, you're right. Spurs are on 33 points. Man City is only on 34. So, you know, we're not far away from Man City, you know? Let's not go, well, 7 points. What's 7 points between friends? Arsenal now top, of course, but and Aston Villa third. What's going on there? What's going on with Aston Villa on 38 points? I don't know.
Win every home game.
Yeah, well, 15 games in a row they've won or something ridiculous now.
It is crazy. We'd take that, won't we? That win. Not a lot of news thing that we haven't already mentioned. Obviously, big news of the flag. Making its unveiling at the London Stadium.
Big news,
and coming up, we've got AFCON. We're going to lose. We're going to lose Benny, who doesn't really play.
Doesn't get
Corne, who doesn't play. A girl, we're going to lose, but I assume we can bring in Dinos.
Mavropanos.
Mavropanos. The big loss is going to be Caduce. Hopefully, what is it? It's the I did talk about this earlier. It's is it not second week in Jan to the mid February or something?
Yes, something like 13th or 14th of January, I think the AFCONs are.
Yeah,
yeah, and it's for a month. And obviously, yeah, as you said, you've got the winter, we've got the winter
Premier League. Yeah, look, it's the 13th of Jan to the Sunday, the 11th of Feb. They'd be released slightly before and they get big in rest. So The games that they would miss would be Sheffield United, Bournemouth, Man United, Arsenal, and possibly Nottingham Forest. Depends on how far those teams go. But who knows? Who knows what? Maybe we'll sign that striker in the January transfer window. Anyway, let's do some. We're going to do a short question time with Russ. I know Nigel and John have got other things tonight, so they're not going to join us. We're going to do another episode of a short question time that we've put up. But let's do our predictions for the next game. So we got Man United this Saturday? Yeah, this Saturday. And then
we've got Liverpool first, Sean.
We've got Liverpool first. You're absolutely right. We've got Liverpool first, which I think you're going to. Then we've got Man United. What we got after that? Is it Brighton?
Arsenal.
Then yeah, you were on your programme last night that you were proudly sharing with everybody. So, oh, damn, we haven't got a London derby coming up.
Oh,
soon.
Yeah, of course we have. We've got Arsenal, yeah.
And she also, oh, my God.
I forgot about that.
Mr. West Ham football.
Yeah, I know. Right, let's start with you, John. Mr. Super Six expert. So we've got four games to predict.
Yep.
Liverpool, Man United, Arsenal and Brighton.
Okay, well, we're going to win 2-1 Liverpool.
Ooh.
We're going to draw 1-1 with Man United.
Ooh.
And we're going to beat Brighton 2-0.
And Arsenal?
What about Arsenal?
Arsenal.
You forgot we've got a London derby in the middle.
Forgot about a London derby in the middle of it all.
It's easy to do.
There you go. We're going to lose 2-0.
Okay. Nigel?
I think Liverpool will go to penalties.
Oof.
We'll
good
win.
Yeah.
I think we'll beat Man United.
Yeah.
1-0. I think then we lose to Arsenal. Not too heavily, because I'll be there, but in the Arsenal end.
Go on, you've got to give a score to it.
All right, yeah, we'll lose 2-0. Declan Rice to score.
Yeah. And Brighton?
And then Brighton. Well, we've already beaten this season, so I think we'll be okay. Actually, Brighton. I think we'll beat Brighton.
Score?
We're not playing that well. 3-1.
Okay. Russ, just for fun, even though you'll be way behind, well, could be ahead of Nigel and George, to be honest, who are yet to get lots of scores on the board. Russ, 4. Liverpool, Man United, Liverpool, Arsenal, Brighton.
Okay, Liverpool, I think I'm similar to Nigel. I think it's going to go to extra time. We might nick it on penalties. It's going to be a close
time, is it?
Straight to pennies. Yeah, straight to pens. All right, it's going to go to penalties.
I'm not.
And then it's a lottery. So we'll see. I'd like us to think we could do on penalties, but we did Man City on penalties, didn't we?
Yeah. Man United.
Man United. I think we're going to win that. 2-0. I think United are absolutely awful at the moment. Arsenal, I think we'll lose close, probably like 2-1, something like that. We might go ahead and lose 2-1. And Brighton, I think, will be a Desmond 2-2.
Okay, fine. Liverpool, I'm going to go for a straight 1-0 win. Man United, I'm going to go for 1-0 win. Arsenal, I'm going to go for 1-0 loss. Brighton, I'm going to go for 1-0 win. Which means probably it won't happen. That's all the time we have. Russ and myself are going to do a little quick question time, although there's only about 3 comments there, so it could be a really quick one. So we'll just say goodbyes. Nigel's going back to work in Weymouth. Well, are you not? Oh, you're sleeping, are you?
No, I'm going to eat.
You're going where?
I want to eat.
Oh, you want to eat? I thought you were eating at the beginning of the programme.
No, that was biscuits. I need to eat something proper.
All right.
Well, what did you get then, Nigel? Down the old...
Christmas dinner.
What's it, the old carvery, is it?
Well, no, it ain't. It's beef eaters. It's a chips Christmas dinner or more.
Oh,
so
nice.
For Christmas dinner. I've had 4 in the past for 3 weeks. So I might as well crack on.
Go for it. Nice Christmas dinner. Okay. Well, we'll be off then.
Anyway, I've been Sean. Nigel's been...
I think 4-1. We're beating Crystal Palace, the under-21s.
Yeah, they are. Yeah.
John's been...
Yeah, just on my way out. I'll see you later.
And Russ been...
coughing in between muting myself.
Oh, well done. Very,
very professional.
Come on, you iron.
Bobby Moore. be more than just a podcast. Bobby more than just a podcast.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.